continuously, then there is no question of the darkness of Kali Yuga entering our consciousness. There is no question of darkness entering. Krishna Surya Sam Maya Haya Andhakar. Darkness also is dependent. It doesn't have independent existence. The existence of darkness depends on the non-existence of light, because the two cannot simultaneously be present in the same place. So if we keep the light of the Krishna sun blazing in our hearts, somehow or another, if we can just keep the holy names of Krishna alive in our heart, then sarva papachai, no misery, no sin, nothing of the material world can enter our consciousness. This is the gift that of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that Prabhupada was carrying throughout the world. Before we begin, I guess we're already having a long beginning before we read something from the Bhagavatam, but I read this morning a little something that was so sweet of Prabhupada's, about Prabhupada, that I wanted to pass it on, is that it came from an old Vyasa Puja offering written by Gurudas Prabhu in 1971. And I knew of the incident a little bit, but at one point, Prabhupada's address, and in the earliest Bhagavatams, the ones that he printed before he came to the West, there was an address printed in there. Does anyone know where that was? Huh? No? Chippewada Temple in Delhi. Yeah, in Chandichok. So people seeing that and wanting the books or something like that, they would send money in envelope to Prabhupada at that address in Chippewadi Temple. And the person, and Prabhupada was in the West at that time. So the person who was collecting the mail, you'll never guess what he did with the envelopes for the money. Yes, that's just what he should have done. But instead, he would open them up and take the money. So when Prabhupada returned back, he found out that this person, Tota Chor, he was stealing. So one of the devotees said to Prabhupada, "This person is stealing." You know, and it was terrible, stealing from Prabhupada. So one of the devotees, one of Prabhupada's disciples, said, "This person, we should chastise him, this, that." And Prabhupada said, "There's only one thing we can do." And the devotee said, "Take him to the police." And Prabhupada said, "No, forgive him." And forgiveness is the jewel, actually, of the twice born in the pastime of I think it speaks about this in the Vamandev pastime. Very difficult to do in Kali Yuga, because the heart doesn't let go of things. So therefore we need the holy name to dispel all the darkness. All the darkness. So if Krishna's holy name takes birth or remains manifest or rises in our consciousness, then there is no question of any darkness holding anything of the material world there. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Gopyo
hasantya paprachu.
Gopyo hasantya paprachu.
Rama sandarshanandrita. Kachiraste sukham krishna.
Kachiraste sukham krishna.
Pura stri janabalava.
Pura stri janabalava.
Gopyo hasantya praprachu.
Gopyo hasantya praprachu.
Rama sandarshanadrita.
Rama sandarshanadrita. Ashtiraste sukham krishna.
Purashtri janavallabha.
Purashtri janavallabha.
For her girls.
Hasantya.
Hasantya. Smiling.
Smiling.
Paprachu.
Paprachu.
Asked.
Asked.
Rama.
Rama.
Of Lord Balaram.
Of Lord Balaram.
Sandarshana,
Sandarshana
by the personal audience.
Adrita,
honored.
Kachit,
weather.
Aste,
is living.
Sukham,
happily.
Krishna,
what does Krishna mean?
Krishna.
Yes.
Pura
of the city.
Stri
jana
of the women.
Balava.
Balava.
What does Balava mean?
what is
I couldn't hear. I heard one. The darling. That's how it's translated here. Sarada Balava. The darling. Sukadeva Goswami continued, and I will read the verses prior to this again to catch everyone up. Honored to have the personal audience of Lord Balaram, the young gopi smiled and asked him, "Is Krishna the darling of the city women living happily?" So there are many meanings, there are many waves on the ocean of their words here. So let's go back to the beginning of the chapter. Of course, this is a very intimate chapter that describes Varaham Bhava, the separation, the ecstasy of separation experienced by the residents of Vrindavan, especially the Braja Gopis. The ecstasy of separation. The two seem contradictory. If one has love for another, how could being separated from them be the cause of ecstasy? Rather, naturally, one would think that it would be the cause of misery. And the more love one has for the person, the more miserable one would naturally feel if one doesn't have the association of that person. And no one in the entirety of existence has more love than the Braja Gopis for Krishna. So therefore, being separated from Krishna, one would think that they would be the most miserable of persons. And indeed, externally, looking at the view of Vrindavan in Krishna's absence, there is nothing externally but misery. Because To be separate from Krishna, from the residence of Vrindavan, means no life, practically speaking. Barely the residence of Vrindavan could breathe. Barely. What kept them alive was two things. One, that will come out later, asyasate iti dotakai, that Krishna had sent the gopis a message to a messenger that abhyayga. Basically, I'm just now coming. I'm just coming back. I'm coming back. And this is what kept them alive. Half of what kept them alive is the hope that Krishna would come. And the other thing that kept them alive, even more to the point of their unequaled love, was that they knew how much love Krishna had for them. And if they would die, that would cause Krishna pain. Especially if they knew, if he would be thinking that, oh, I have caused the deaths of my most beloveds. And the thought of Krishna suffering the slightest pain, inconvenience, what to speak of pain, was completely intolerable for the residents of Vrindavan and the gopis. So they couldn't die. They couldn't. Even though they felt sunyayate, there was nothing in their existence, practically speaking. This is the love of the residents of Vrindavan. So one has to understand, before one can enter into this most mysterious pastime, that this has nothing to do with the disguised as love, lust of the material world. The difference is between gold and iron. Iron you can find in the street, but gold, everyone keeps it very, very, very carefully because of its value. Krishnendriya priti and Atmendriya priti. That is the difference between lust and love. If we want to know, or if we want to understand why we are, or one of the essential foundational reason why we stay in the material world and we are not with Krishna is this. We have Atmendriya priti. We want to satisfy our own senses. We remain, we stay in the center. What's good for me must by definition be good for the universe. This is called maya or illusion. And it brings no satisfaction to me, the soul. Despite my attempts, I go Brahmanda Brahmate, I wander throughout the universe from one situation to the next. Ichabhesha samutena dvandva mohena bharata sarva bhutani samohan. This is the mohan, illusion. Seeing, looking at the material world with the vision of its positive, the icha, or negative, excuse me, the positive icha, I want it, I desire it, and dvesha, I don't want it, looking at the objects of the material world as if they are meant for my pleasure, as if material existence is simply meant for my pleasure, and I want to bring them closer or push them away according to what I perceive is going to bring me happiness. And it simply does not work like that. Rather, we just become entangled in the sarva-bhutani samohan, where we become entangled in the complexities of the material world, pushing and pulling. And this is Satkalpa, vikalpa, the acceptance and rejectance that the mind, which is the center of this functioning, this is the function of the mind, and this is what's pulling everyone around in the material world. This a dream, this imaginary dream, and it isn't really a dream, that if I have this, and if I push that away, if I can just get more of this, and push that, and move this around and manipulate the material, then I will become peaceful, happy, satisfied, etc. And it never happens. Never happens. This type of mood is born of which mode of material nature? Passion. And the result of passion, rather than being satisfaction and happiness, is distress. Just the opposite of what the world is preaching today. Today the preaching is consume, consume, consume. But what really becomes consumed is our life. Consumed needlessly and wastedly. You know, buy this and buy that and shop and shop and get this and accumulate money and accumulate this and get your friends organized and allies together against your enemies and on and on and on and on. It's a complete illusion that that's going to bring satisfaction to the soul. So the message of Krishna consciousness is not a popular message. It is an intelligent message, but it is not a popular message. It's stop all this nonsense. You're looking in the wrong place for your happiness. I remember there was one devotee, the Prabhupada, said, our preaching is basically on the most basic level is to stop this way of life, and the prime way of happiness of the materialistic mind in this world is illicit sex, intoxication, gambling, and meat eating. So if we preach these things, Prabhupada said, no illicit sex, no gambling, no intoxication, no meat eating, do you think the people who sell the cigarettes, who make the alcohol, who run the brothels, who raise the cows and other animals, you think they're going to be happy and pleased and think, oh, what a wonderful idea you have. This is only if we have thought of this ourselves. How nice, thank you. No, he explained basically they're going to try and kill you. So now we sort of we keep our low profile and we tend to want to be accepted in the material world by the materialistic people as something legitimate. But actually our essential message is completely opposite to the materialistic way of life. The Bhagavad Gita explains this. What is night for them is our light, our day. And what is our night is their day. And that famous story of how the one of Prabhupada's godbrothers was speaking to the Marquis of Zetland many, many years ago in England, and he asked Prabhupada's godbrother, can you make me into a brahmana? And he said, yes. Well, what do I have to do? No meat eating, no illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling. And the reply was, impossible. What is the meaning of life? Where will I find my enjoyment? So this is really how people think. Be a vegetarian, what's there to eat but potatoes and peas? And how will I get my protein? So really, We are in opposition to the world, the way the world is going. And really, we might find at certain parts of our life that we are in opposition to ourselves. That what the mind, my mind is grasping for is simply poison. Shunya, Janya, Vishakainu. That knowingly, after having heard, and even after I know, still I want to, I tend to drink poison. So therefore, we chant the holy names. And what is our hope? Because in Kali Yuga, everyone is so contaminated. You can't, especially growing up, the younger one is, the more difficult it is practically to have escaped the contaminations of this age between the 157 television stations and the unlimited garbage that's on the internet. How is it possible for a young person to escape from the contaminations? It's so difficult. So we have something very formidable to fight against, in fact, externally and internally as well. So we need the light of the holy names and the association of devotees and the association of the deities and the holy books and something to do for Krishna that engages the mind. So, and that those things are a real blessing, the real blessings in our life. So, different from the separation in the material world that causes only misery, the separation that the greatest lovers of Krishna experience from Krishna causes Krishna to be with them always. Because Krishna and thoughts of Krishna are not this, are not none different. Avina tam nama nama no. But yet, this mood of separation experienced by the residents of Vrindavan is very, 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 it's very difficult to understand, but actually it's not very difficult for us to understand. It's impossible for us to understand. We can get a glimpse, vaguely, we can get a glimpse of what the residents of Vrindavan are feeling. Even Uddhava, when he came to Vrindavan, Krishna sent Uddhava to Vrindavan. Why? But what was the outside? What was the reason? He was carrying a message from Krishna in response to the message that the gopis had sent him. So he was sending, Krishna was sent a message from Uddhava for the residents of Vrindavan, but he actually, because Uddhava is the best of the members of the Yadu dynasty, his love and familiarity or with Krishna, his relationship with Krishna amongst all the Yadus, Uddhava was the best, the closest. Krishna, he was always with Krishna. And Krishna would even ask him for advice. The all-knowing Supreme Personality of Godhead would ask Uddhava for advice. So Krishna sent Uddhava to Vrindavan, but actually, externally he was asking him to deliver the message, and that was part of it. But he wanted him to get a glimpse of the quality of the love for him that the residents of Vrindavan carried with them always. And when he saw the love, he was immediately shocked, and his desire was to become a blade of grass, a kripa in Vrindavan, so that the residents of Vrindavan, especially the gopis would step upon him with their lotus feet. So when he experienced what the speciality of the love of Vrindavan is, he was shocked and he was amazed. But as he was entering in to Vrindavan, first, by the influence of Yoga Maya, he was allowed to experience Vrindavan without, or as it is in the uppercut, the unmanifest feature with Krishna present. So when he came into that Vrindavan, he saw the most beautiful, fragrant place where the most intense spiritual happiness was existing. And then the curtain of Yoga Maya lifted. I wasn't sure whether to say lifted or fell, but it lifted. And then he saw Vrindavan in separation from Krishna. And the trees had dried up. And the people, the gopas, the gopis, the cows, just simply separation, not being able to eat, just barely keeping themselves alive. He entered the house of Mother Yasoda and Nanda Maharaj, and nothing had been cooked or cleaned for months and months and months and months. And Mother Yasoda, just simply tears had been coming from her eyes until there were no more tears left. Where and when was Krishna? She never forgave Nanda Maharaj for coming back without Krishna from Mathura. And Nanda Maharaj said, What are you crying about? Can't you see Krishna's here? There is one verse in Srila Rupa Goswami's Padyavali that describes how separation from Krishna is better than meeting Krishna, being with Krishna, because when you are with Krishna, there is one Krishna. But when you are separated from Krishna, everywhere you look, you see Krishna. Just like, has anyone bought a computer recently? Sorry to bring out such a mundane example. No one will admit it. But when you're thinking about which new computer or camera or iPod you're going to get or whatever, everywhere you look, you see those. Everyone seems to be carrying iPods or cameras like that. So just imagine. Funny how more people are laughing than admitted that they were buying. So just imagine if the little bit of I want the computer or the camera, if that little bit of desire causes us to see cameras and computers and particular type of cars everywhere. Just imagine what the deepest love on a spiritual level we can't imagine, but take whatever we do imagine and multiply it by 100, 1,000, 1,000,000, 1,000,000,000, 1,000,000,000,000. And we could get a glimpse of what the residents of Vrindavan experience. Everywhere and only where they looked, they saw Krishna, 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 Krishna. And in that seeing Krishna everywhere, Krishna is fully manifest. In being separation from Krishna, when there is love, pulls Krishna into the heart. And Mahaprabhu used to cry and cry and cry. And in Chaitanya Charitamrita describes how people ask him, why are you crying? You have so much love for Krishna. He said, no, I have no love for Krishna. The proof of that I have no love for Krishna is that I am still alive. How could I still be alive when the very life of me has been removed? The body doesn't stay alive. When the soul is gone, but how about the soul of the soul, the super soul? So this Krishna consciousness, you know, after chanting a little while, you know, associating with devotees, reading the books for a while, we think, yeah, it's pretty simple. Now, I may not be very advanced, but it's pretty simple. But actually, it is the deepest, 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 deepest of all possible things. It is deeper than the deepest ocean. And one can only dive into this ocean of bhakti rasa according to one's capacity. But we can't keep the darkness of material life clinging. If we can cling to darkness, which the mind does, we can't keep that simultaneously in the consciousness with the light of love for Krishna. The two cannot go together. So the darkness in this case disallows the light of Krishna consciousness from entering. So what to do about that? What to do about that? I want something more than I have the capacity to take. So we have to, what? We have to keep a very strong desire. Therefore, burning in the heart for the proper things. So therefore, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Mahaprabhu actually said, what is the quality of a Vaishnava? He said, a satsanga tyagi Vaishnava char. That means he gives up the association of non-devotees. Why? Because when we associate, if we associate with a person who's always sneezing and coughing, we're going to catch it. Undoubtedly. And if we associate with materialistic people who are simply desiring on this external, superficial level that causes, that increases the material desires, their desires will come to our heart. We have to associate with sincere. That was how Prabhupada answered it, and that's what Mahaprabhu also said at a different time. In Saru Sangha, Saru Sangha, Sarva Chastukhoi, Lava Matta, Saru Sangha, Sarva Siddhihoi, because that increases the desires that frequent the heart of a holy person, those desires are not of this world. They don't grow from the soil of this material world. They come, Golokeda Premadana, like the holy names, they come from the spiritual world and descend to this world. They're composed of the spiritual energy. They are not of this world. The process of devotional service, it is not of this world. It is something outside of this world, and therefore people whose only vision is of the material world can't understand it. It is not of this world. The holy names are not of this world. The proof of that, or a proof of that, is that there have been great devotees who have been able to spend their whole lives just simply chanting and chanting and chanting and chanting and having nothing of the tasting no pleasure from the material world whatsoever, complete vairagya, detachment from the material world, but not pushing, oh, I can't touch the things of the material world, I can't, even though I want it, I can't, not like that at all, but the satisfaction, tushti pushti chudapaya anugasan, the satisfaction that comes from tasting the sweetness of Krishna's holy names,
fills them so much to the top, like just after you've eaten the most wonderful prasadam, a whole feast, and then someone offers you another plate of prasadam, and you say, I just can't take it, because I'm already full and satisfied. I just can't take it. It may be the most wonderful prasadam, but I don't have no desire to eat anymore. I'm full. So similarly, these holy persons, our great heroes, the great acharyas, just all day long chanting Krishna Kirtana Gana Natana Paro Premam Ritam Bonidhi, just tasting that and not wanting to touch anything of the material world whatsoever. Just chanting Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. And on the other hand, if the name of Krishna was some imaginary philosophy of the made out of someone's mind in the material world, and it didn't have substance, anyone who thinks that they should go to some place and try to chant something like banana or apple or water or money, 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 or fast car, and see how long you can do it. Just see. So this, what we're hearing from the Bhagavatam, is of a different realm completely. And because our consciousness, I shouldn't say our, but my consciousness tends very much to be anchored in this material realm, the land of samsara, dava, nalalita loka, of the forest fire of material existence, it's very difficult for me to perceive the reality of this realm. While of the spiritual realm, while the material world seems so real to me, and this world seems something far away. But for the spiritualists, the deeply realized souls, what is night seems day, and what is day seems night. So let's hear. Sukadev Goswami said, O best of the Kurus, who is he speaking to? Rajpakshi. Once Lord Balaram, eager to visit his well-wishing friends, mounted his chariot and traveled to Nanda Gokul. How could he have done this? Because where was he when he traveled to Nanda Gokul? He was in Dwarka. And who was in Dwarka? Krishna. So he left Krishna to visit the residence of Vrindavan. How could he have done this? He did this because he had such an intense desire. If he had thought, oh, I'm going to be leaving Krishna to go to Vrindavan, he couldn't have done it, actually, because it's impossible to leave. It would be impossible for him to leave. But his intense desire caused him not to be able to think about that. He just left and went to Vrindavan. Nanda Gokul. Having long suffered the anxiety of separation, the cowherd men and their wives embraced Lord Balaram, because he was like their darling son. The Lord then offered respects to his parents, and they joyfully greeted him with prayers. Nanda Yasoda prayed, O descendant of Dasa, O Lord of the universe, may you and your younger brother Krishna ever protect us. Praying to Balaram like this, there's so much can be said on this point, but it's so late already. How is it possible that the parents are praying to the children, their son like this? The Lord of the universe, they knew that Balaram was all powerful. But yet, the specific nature of the love of the residents of Vrindavan is that it's undiminished. their love doesn't decrease because their love is so intense. It can take the fact that Krishna, Balaram are God and it doesn't decrease their love. That's like if a very extremely wealthy person, we always use the example of Bill Gates, to walk in this room right now, everyone would smile, we would stand up, we would make believe we're looking at the deities and look at him, and you know, here's explain everything, we'd stand, give him Charanamrita, wash his hands, everything like that. And we'd be all smiling and showing him so much affection, and what would we all be thinking? Yes. How could we get some money for Radha? We wouldn't be thinking at all, how would he give me some money? None of us would be thinking like that. But we would be thinking, just how could he be induced to give some money to Radha Balava? Because even though we may even have a relationship with him, the fact that he's so wealthy would keep entering into that relationship and spoil the wanting something from him would spoil our ability to just love him and give him ourselves to him. On the other hand, his mother, perhaps, if she's with him, maybe she's aware of how wealthy he is, but what's dominant is her love. And are you eating enough? You're working so hard. Are you eating enough? And things like that. Are you worrying? Why don't you take a vacation sometimes? Or whatever. Something. But the love becomes dominant and it covers the knowledge. That's someone calling to say it's past 9 o'clock and it's time to end the class. So the love of the resonance of Vrindavan is so powerful, burns so brightly, that even though the knowledge of who Krishna and Balaram are there is there, it just goes below the surface again. And Vasudeva and Devaki, when they see Krishna, they can't take him on their laps. When he returns, they can't take him on their laps and hug him, and because they're too aware that he's... So the love of the residents of Vrindavan, so special. Look what they did. They raised Balaram. Just see the contradiction right there. O Lord of the universe, saying this, they raised Balaram onto their laps. They embraced him. He's the Lord of the universe, but it became just something insignificant when it faced their love. They embraced him and moistened him with the tears of love from their eyes. Quite wonderful. This is Vrindavan, this is love of God. Prema Pamarto Mahan Radyo Bhagavan Vrajesha Tanayo Tad Dhammam Vrindavanam. This is where love exists. Lord Balaram then paid proper respects to the elder cowherd man. The younger ones all greeted him respectfully. He met them all with smiles, handshakes, and so on according to their position. And he dealing personally with each one according to age, degree of friendship, and family relationship. Then after resting, the Lord accepted a comfortable seat, and everyone gathered around him with voices faltering out of love for him. Those cowherds who had dedicated everything to lotus-eyed Krishna asked about the health of their dear ones in Dwarka, and Balaram in return asked about the cowherd's welfare. The cowherd said, O Rama, are all our relatives doing well? And Rama, do all of you, your wives and children, still remember us? It's heart-wrenching, actually. Do you remember us? Because we cannot forget you for even the slightest moment. But do you even remember us? This is Varaha Bhav on it, turned up to very high, intense level. Not, well, after what you've done to me, I don't like you anymore. Taking all my toys and going home. No. So nitya siddhasya. So eternally planted it is. This is what the residents of Vrindavan are made out of. Love for Krishna. And Srimati Radharani is therefore her name, one of her names is Prema Mayi. This is all she is. Krishna's inside, Krishna's outside. This is the path that we're on. We can't imitate and make believe we're over here when we're over here, but we should know where we're going. This is the most wonderful place, Loka Vrindavan. Every step is a dance and every word is a song. It is our great fortune that sinful Kamsa has been killed and our dear relatives freed, while their hearts are simply breaking inside because Krishna is not there. This is how they're speaking. And it is also our good fortune that our relatives have killed and defeated their enemies and found complete security in a great fortress in Dwarka. Honored to have personal audience with Lord Balaram, the young gopi smiled and asked him, not being able to chit-chat at all, "Is Krishna the darling of the city women living happily?" So, we didn't even begin to speak about the verse we were supposed to speak about. Okay, I think no time for questions. Or maybe just we'll go to a quarter after, since it's Ekadasi. Any questions? Thank you very much, Hare Krishna. Comments or questions? Just till a quarter after. We'll continue. If there's anyone, yes. Prabhu first.
Well, you're mentioning that it's impossible for us to understand the feelings of the residents from Darwin and moods. I was reading from the 32nd chapter of the 10th canto, Krishna Chakravarti's comments yesterday. And we see there that, like, when Krishna returned after disappearing from the rasa dance,
Just wait one second. Can't complain about the ring. Yes.
So there's a description there of like when Krishna returned and how different gopis were doing different things, but it doesn't identify who they are. It just identifies.
Also, here in this chapter, also the same thing.
It identifies just what they did and then their moves. And then we see that Vishwa Chakrabarti Thakur, just by their move, identifies who they are. Yes. So it would seem to me that he has an understanding of the moves of the residents, and just by seeing that move, he knows who it is straight away.
Yes.
So I'm wondering if you could comment on that.
Yes. We cannot understand, but he can understand, because he's from that place.
So that still there seems like there is potential for us to understand at some point if we come to our conscience.
Yeah. But what I meant to say was, Burijan, in his present condition, can only understand in the same way that Prabhupada spoke to the devotees, the young hippies who just were chanting Hare Krishna at 22nd Avenue, and they said, "What's it like in Krishna Loka?" And their only understanding of happiness, peculiar as it may sound to us right now, was LSD. And he said, Prabhupada said, "It is like an ocean of LSD." So all we can use, the reason why we can't understand is we have to understand, we have to step upon, to conceptualize, we have to step upon the things within our mind to understand that when my mind is composed of material things, all I can do is step on the material to understand the spiritual, and I don't get the true nature of spirituality by saying that it's 1,000 times more wonderful than the love I have for my pet goldfish or something. 1,000,000 times, 1,000,000,000,000 times, 1,000,000,000 times better. But actually it has nothing to do with it. It's composed of something different. So those great souls who gain the shelter of the internal energy of Krishna, they can understand. In Madhurya Kadambini, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, when he describes, in fact, that there's one really touching part where he says, where someone, he's describing the stage when one has Shakshad Darshan of Krishna. He actually sees Krishna. And he describes how the mind of such a person, previously I have compared your complexion to the dark rain cloud, and previously I've compared the color of your dhoti to lightning. But now actually seeing you, I see those comparisons are completely inappropriate. Because I have the conception of my... And he's speaking from the as if a material person. That if you take what Krishna's complexion is, and you take a lightning bolt of this world and multiply it by 1,000 or 1,000,000 or 1,000,000,000,000 or 1,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000, it's still of this world. And this is composed, Krishna is composed of something quite different from that. So anyway, in that sense, that's what I meant. And it's always better to keep our own position. This realm is the property of those I serve. Okay, thank you very much. Okay, 1 minute. I'll give a short answer, Krishna willing.
When Vasudeva and the Devaki heard about Krishna leaving the boy, they immediately gave up their bodies. So is there any information about what happened to the resident of Vrindavan and Yashoda and...
Yes.
And, what is it?
Oh, no, you only allowed one question. Is there any information?
Yes.
Thank you very much. Bhagavatam ki jai. Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Devi Kaunitai Radha Balava Gaur Bhaktivinda ki jai.